Welcome to Podcast 2187. Enjoy the show. And don't forget to submit your blaster for inspection.
Okay, so I'm ready. I feel really ready for tonight because I did all the research and all the homework before we started.
And I feel like this is facetious.
No. It's like legit. And I am like wearing a Making Star Wars t-shirt, and I've got a coffee and a Podcast 2187 coffee mug. You can get yours today. And
Tim, you're too damn dry. I can't tell when you're sarcastic or not.
I'm legit. Like, seriously.
Speaking of super dry, right before we record,
no, we are recording.
Oh, we are?
Yeah.
I used to really like Garrison Keillor. I used to love Garrison Keillor, and that bums me out that he was one of those sexual harassing dudes.
That's a bummer.
You know, the flow of harassment has calmed down quite a bit.
It has a little bit. It's not the same thing at all. It's just it's verbal abuse, not in the Weinstein category at all. But the Duffer Brothers were called out by a production staff member this weekend, the guys from Stranger Things. That kind of bummed me out. But at the same time, it's like, I do believe that I've blown up before. I can see someone my age getting tons of power and critical acclaim, letting that crap go to their heads.
Hey, what'd they get called out for?
I guess they had a pattern specifically with women staffers and actors of just like screaming at them repeatedly. Like a woman who was worked on production for the entire second season said that it was like a persistent and repetitive issue and like a pattern.
They don't like Stranger Things.
It was a pattern of behavior, she said. Yeah, no, I don't know, like, I don't really put it past them. They made something I like, but that doesn't mean they're not jerks.
did the clamor for them to do Star Wars die down? Because it seems like anytime anybody is successful at anything, it's like they need to do a Star Wars.
Yeah, no, and I had that vibe. I feel like 2 years ago when we were still riding high off of off The Force Awakens, I felt that way. But now I'm a little more selective. Like if somebody does something like specifically interesting, you know, or that feels like I could see them just fitting with something Star Wars-y or something new that would be good for Star Wars. But yeah, not everybody is a perfect Star Wars fit.
Well, I might have a suggestion for who should do a Star Wars tonight.
Okay. Do we want to do that now or wait for a different time?
We'll wait for a different time.
Okay. Well, as I'm sure everybody's heard
Tune Changer and back again.
Jared's already like, I know where you're going.
You also played your hand, like, before we record, you said you're going to try to push my button, so I know what you're doing already. Get in my head.
Okay, so, hey, as I'm sure everybody has caught on by now, it's Jared, Mark, and me, and so far we don't have Andrea, but she will be here at some point, we hope.
Yeah, that's what we've been told.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. But, anyway, so this is Podcast 2187, and I hate that when I get like the notifications because it records. So there's a little chime that's in the recording now.
We don't hear it at all, but I'm sure it's still on. It's just
Anyway,
it's nice to hear it.
so this is Podcast 2187, and we are going to talk about some things tonight. And I've been hearing rumors about a Star Wars Wars that's going to happen tonight as well. So
we'll see. Well, see, Jared is what? Switzerland? Is that the neutral country?
Yeah, I always think of the neutral planet moment in Futurama, right when the planet's going to explode because Zap Brannigan has misinterpreted neutrality as evil. but he's blowing it up, and the ambassador or prime minister looks at his friend and goes, "Tell my wife I said hello." it's the most neutral statement in the world, but
I wish if anything, and you know, this may be a little bit egotistical on my part, and might also be playing my hand. I wish Mark from a month ago could argue with Mark tonight.
No, I kind of wish I could watch that too, because like when I talked to Amanda about the episode, I was like, man, Mark has changed his tune so much. Like, and I felt like it's just a little funny because I'm not down on the show as a whole, but I am more negative towards the Rebels finale than I was. I think in general, the last couple of seasons, you've gradually gone from liking the show a lot to, until recently, being pretty negative about it. And I was always more in the middle of the road, even though I agree with a lot of the stuff you were saying. I was kind of more middle line and very much neutral in Switzerland. And now I'm leaning towards not being super impressed with the whole thing. There's things I love about it, but things I don't like.
See, and through this series, I kind of found myself falling more in line with Mark's points of view normally. And tonight, I have a side in this.
I'm super interested to hear this drop. I like that you're waiting for it to reveal. That's good.
Well,
it's a good programming.
There are a couple things that we should get to first. And right. Mostly just things to mention. But number one is that John Powell is in London right now to record the soundtrack for Solo. And as far as I know, I haven't heard otherwise. And so in my mind, I've decided it's the LSO. I'm hopeful for that because that just sounds awesome. But not really much to discuss there.
We haven't had an LSO recorded Star Wars in there. And what do they say? What do the kids say today? In a hot minute?
In a dog's age.
No.
I mean,
might
have been what the kids said 100 years ago. But
yes.
Yeah. It's been what, 13 years, I guess?
No, shut up. Really?
Yes.
Yeah. My parents asked me about an old-timey term today. They're visiting like a friend my dad has had since high school, and they've both known since college. And he's like, hey, Vernon said, dumber than something like a dumb bun. It was something about a rabbit. I don't remember what it was. No one has ever said this phrase before, but they're like, is that a real old timey thing? But I like that I'm their son, you know, like several decades younger than my parents. And they're asking me about old timey terms because they know that's my bag.
You just said that's my bag.
So. Yes, I did. Now you're on the trolley.
Wow. All right. Well, I mean, like I said, I don't feel like there's not a whole lot to really dive into discussion there, but just wanted to point that out because that is an exciting development for the movie and the soundtrack.
Hey Tim, let's just check off a couple boxes real quick. You were saying that it's been 13 years since any Star Wars was recorded with the LSO, the London Symphony Orchestra. So that's something big.
Okay.
And props to you for getting 13 years at the drop of a hat. I mean, you know, are you in, do you do math for a living? Are you
no.
a math person?
No, I do not.
Yeah.
I did fairly well at it, but it was not a favorite of mine.
You're not in mathematics as a career, Tim?
No.
See, then it must just be the fact that as a robot, you can compute pretty fast.
I mean, to be fair, it's not that hard.
Whatever. I don't even know my own age right now.
Tim's got a built-in chronometer as a robot, so like he does time, you know, numbers. They come easily to him.
Yes. See, so when I have Johnny confirm that I am not a robot, I was hoping that you guys might believe him. But if you don't believe Johnny, who would you believe?
Have you seen Ex Machina? They come pretty realistic these days.
Mm-hmm.
It fooled both Hux and Poe, and they're—I mean, say what you want about them, but they're sharp guys.
Okay.
They rose to the ranks at a pretty young age. I'm just saying, it's not by accident.
So, Mark, was there anything else you wanted to really dive into regarding John Powell and the Solo score being recorded?
He's doing it by himself.
That's all I've seen.
Because you said Solo score, so.
Oh yeah, that's
like Solo.
That's great here.
Bravo, Bravo ship steering there, Captain.
Because I'm first.
Well, does John Powell? I actually don't know this. I feel like I should. Does John Powell usually conduct his own things, or does he have a conductor?
I don't know. Does anybody on this podcast have a website devoted to soundtracks?
Nope. Don't know who you're talking about.
Me either.
All
right. So I guess we don't.
Actually, I have an idea. So talk about something Star Wars related while I look this up. I might be able to find out right now.
The description, we got a little bit of a description of what the character before he was recast, a character that Michael K. Williams was going to play, right? And he's now going to be played by Paul Bettany. And from the onset photos, it looks like he's just going to be a normal humanoid alien. But he had said that he was kind of a half mountain lion, half human character. And that reminds me a little bit of Jackson because he's a humanoid rabbit. But just the way he was described sounds a lot like what we've been given the impression that the character that Woody Harrelson is playing is going to be. He said that he was a really large part and that it was he was a mentor character. And in his eyes, he said it was kind of subtext. It wasn't something that was in the film, but that he thought of himself as kind of trying to prove himself to Emilia Clarke's character, almost like a romantic rival, at least in terms of like who the top dog was, where he was trying to like be like the old dog showing himself off while the new young guy was trying to show himself off as the cool young thing. And that he saw them as a mentor with a little bit of a rivalry, but that was more subtext and just how he was playing it. And that it was all came down to scheduling because he had to do his IFC Netflix show, Happen Leonard, I think. But that he was too busy to come back because it would have required him to reshoot almost all of his, like 90% of his scenes, and that he just didn't have the time to do it.
So I did find the answer, and I feel like I should have known this. He does have a conductor who usually does his soundtracks, Gavin Greenaway, who does more than just John Powell. Like he did, let's see, Pan. He did, and Jason Bourne, How to Train Your Dragon 2. These John Powell scores, he did conduct those. But it looks like he's also done some Zimmer things. For example, he was the conductor for Dunkirk. And let's see.
The music was really good in Dunkirk, and the sound design in particular.
And Interstellar he did, which wasn't Zimmer. Oh, wait, yeah, it was. I'm thinking of The Martian. Interstellar he did, too. And he's done like everything. He's done, he's conducted Stellar. For James Newton Howard. He's conducted for Henry Jackman.
So what you're saying is he's conducted for most of the people that have come out of RCP.
I guess I am saying that.
He's conducted for, and that's Remote Control Productions, Hans Zimmer's music house for anyone who's confused.
Inception. Yeah, he really.
He must have got in with him at some point, and he's like their go-to guy. He's built friendships and relationships with these people.
And yeah, so he's done the Bourne series, which was John Powell, and Dark Knight series. Looks like he's done.
It's also John Powell.
Oh, wow, Pearl Harbor. So he really has
he's been around.
Yeah, especially with Zimmer.
Yeah, that's also John Powell.
Well, everything that's Zimmer is also a lot of other people.
Everything's John Powell today. It's John Powell Day.
So anyway, so yeah, I forget why we were asking that, but now we know. So there's that. I do want to mention, because I also want to leave a good amount of time for this Star Wars worst thing, but it's kind of important to bring up that Lucasfilm announced a few days ago that Jon Favreau is going to write and executive produce a live-action Star Wars series that will be on the Disney streaming service.
Did they say write?
They just said he'd be executive producing it. I thought, and like he'd be developing it or creating it or whatever. I mean, he'll probably write some of it.
The release
is he the showrunner?
The release on StarWars.com says Lucasfilm is excited to announce that Emmy-nominated producer and actor Jon Favreau has signed on to executive produce and write a live-action Star Wars series for Disney's new direct-to-consumer platform. And then it goes on.
But that doesn't mean showrunners.
Right.
Doesn't mean he's the head writer or writing the entire series. We don't know he's pulling Aaron Sorkin, where he's going to write every single script.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know anything beyond what that sentence says.
Right,
but,
exactly. We do know that he's executive produced several TV shows in the past, and in those instances, almost exclusively, he has co-written or written the pilot and directed the pilot, like NBC's Revolution.
Damn, you just pulled that out of your head too.
Yeah, I don't even have Wikipedia open or anything. I just remember.
But well, and another thing that it says is that he, as we know, is no stranger to the Star Wars galaxy, having played roles in both Star Wars: The Clone Wars animated series and in the upcoming Solo: A Star Wars Story. So, Jon Favreau is just kind of like he's got his foot in the door with Star Wars, it seems.
Yeah, he was what's his face? Sabine's ancestor, Bree Vizsla.
Yes, that's his name. Yeah.
Darksaber dude.
That's kind of like next time. I say next time, like it happens when I see Jon Favreau. Jon
Favreau gets an announcement.
Right. But so if I ever just like, you know, pass him going to a store or something, I'll just be like, hey, look, it's the Darksaber guy and see how that goes. Or I can say he's the guy from Rudy. That would be good too.
I bet he likes it better than if somebody says like money or some reference to to swingers. Somebody calls him a beautiful baby. I bet it drives him nuts.
And if anybody's wondering what he said about it is, if you told me at 11 years old that I would be getting to tell stories in the Star Wars universe, I wouldn't have believed you. I can't wait to embark upon this exciting adventure. So needless to say, he is pretty excited about it. And okay. Yeah.
So I wrote in a comment about it that I was like conflicted because I'd like to see more new blood, more new creators involved, and especially in something like TV. Is there's people who are proven who maybe necessarily are less proven, if that makes any sense. Like they've paid some dues, but I haven't seen a ton of stuff from them. And to me, I also feel like he's a bit of a mixed bag, although overall I think he's really good. And in my comment, I just said that I hope that the things that I really like from a couple of his projects and listed Elf and Chef and I can't remember what the other one is right now, but it was something else that I really enjoy of his. Oh, Jungle Book. I thought he did a really good job on, and I said I hope that he has some of the heart and warmth and humanity that I enjoyed in that, and that he will staff it with a bunch of new voices that are new to Star Wars. It would be cool. And it ended up getting in a moment on Twitter that was about people hating on it. It wasn't really that negative. It was at most pretty neutral, I feel like. And my favorite responses were, he made Iron Man. And it's like, dude, I just listed three random movies he made. I saw Swingers when I was a tween when it came out. I remember him. I know him. I like his work overall. I know he made Iron Man.
I don't know. Well, that's another thing that is, I think, worth mentioning is that he does have some previously established ties with Disney too, between the Marvel stuff and both acting and being the creative mind behind some of them.
And yeah, Jungle Book and exactly. The new one, right?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So you got it.
Yeah, Lion King, right? It was in the same vein as Jungle Book.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And who, I can't remember now, but somebody was doing Aladdin.
Guy Ritchie.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
I think they're making them like at the same time too, pretty much.
But well, so we have Jon Favreau now. What do you think he is going? What unique elements can he bring to Star Wars, especially considering it's the live action series?
I don't know. For me, I would honestly like, I know I'll never get it, but I would really like a live action series that is just like a Tales from Mos Eisley Cantina or Tales from the Bounty Hunters or whatever. Something where it's an hour or two or hour and a half episode that shows you a little bit, you know, a character you might have seen before, and then you get another one. You're never stuck, you know, going, oh, I hate these people, or this is boring. You know, you've always got something new every week or for 12 episodes.
That's interesting because I like that idea. I was kind of thinking the exact opposite, that because, you know, we have to wait a couple of years between each of the saga films, and I don't know. I think I'm still wishing or hoping that that's going to be what the Star Wars story or standalone movies will kind of be like eventually. And so I was thinking that a series would be a really good opportunity to have something with like an ongoing story with real serialization because we don't really, I don't know, in the comics, they're just spinning their wheels between the New Hope and Empire still.
Yeah, but here's Well, here's, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, no, I was going to say, because I felt like Rebels, for me, that's where they faltered a little bit, because I didn't feel like overall past that first season, their rhythm really felt like it worked for me. Like, I felt like it was always inconsistent as far as the progression of the story from episode to episode throughout those mostly the second and third season. I think they sort of got more focused with the fourth again. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not disagreeing with you. I was just saying that's sort of what I was leaning towards in my head when imagining whatever the series would be. That it would kind of, because there's a lot of really good serialized television, and I like the idea of Star Wars doing something like that. But I'm not averse to an anthology series either. So,
we've got potentially four different iterations of Star Wars in the movie theater. We're gonna have whatever it is that Rian Johnson's doing. We're gonna have
a trilogy from him, right?
Right. We got the Game of Thrones guys doing their thing.
Right, which is going to be at least two movies, because they said movies, plural.
we've got the Solo, the
former anthologies, Star Wars
films, right? Which supposedly are still going on. So that's three, and then if they continue, in some form, the what happens after the end of nine,
which Kathleen Kennedy did say that they would be continuing Rey and Poe and Finn's story right before they made the announcement about the separate Rian Johnson trilogy. She'd said that. So.
Yeah, like they're going to take a break for a few years, right? But then they will get back to it.
I think
that's a good Star Wars. That's a good Star Wars film. That's at least two a year.
That's true.
I agree.
Yes.
How you doing?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Good.
I'm sorry I'm late. I just got home.
That sounds made up.
No, that's fine. I know she just got home.
I just got home, really.
How many Harvey Wallbangers did you have?
What is that?
Jared, it's old timey.
No, I know what that is.
It's an old-fashioned drink. She wouldn't like it.
How many brew dogs did I have?
What is it called?
A brew dog? No, brew dog.
What is that? That sounds like beer and a hot dog.
That's her beer company, brew dog.
That's the dream brewery I want to open.
Don't you remember this?
No.
It's a brewery where all the drinks are named after dogs.
Oh my god. All right, back to Star Wars.
Well,
pretty good. It's a pretty good idea.
Well, Mark, because the point you were making is a couple of movies a year, right? Like with the pacing and the number of sub franchises or whatever you want to call it.
Oh, I think we've been talking about that for a while, but it feels like Marvel's building, or not Marvel, Star Wars is building that Marvel model, and they're already at like three a year, some years. So that makes sense.
Yeah, I remember in the day when you had to wait to see another Marvel movie, like a while.
Are there?
Not are that there it was that long
year,
ago. But.
And they're all going to be in the first half of the year. Is that right? Because there's.
Well, I was trying to figure that out even because you're going to have Ant-Man and the Wasp, but does that technically, even though it comes in the theaters after Infinity War, does that
I think it's before it in the storyline.
Okay.
I think it takes place immediately after Civil War for Scott from the perspective of Ant-Man. I believe. I'm not 100% certain, but I thought I saw something.
Nothing in the summer, huh? I mean, nothing in the winter.
I don't think there is this year, right? Because, I mean, there's still film in Captain Marvel. That's not done. They just approved all these other stuff, like the new Spider-Man and Black Panther and stuff have been made official, but I don't think they're...
Oh, yeah, Doctor Strange dose.
Yeah, that's not happening before the new Infinity War, but there's got to be something. There's got to be something before that, before the second part of that, after Ant-Man. But I can't think of what it is.
They did change the name, right? Because it was Infinity War Part 1 and Part 2, but it's not that anymore, right?
No, now it's just Avengers Infinity War and then something else.
Right. But they haven't said what the second one is?
No.
The death of Captain America. I don't know.
Oh, man. Like, did you guys see that? Figgy was teasing that that's going to be permanent, unlike the comics. It's like... He basically said that people who were asking if Cap was going to die or if Steve was going to die, that they should be careful what they wish for because they're going to really miss those actors in those roles when they do die in the movies. And he sort of made it seem like teasing at least Tony and Steve's plausible deaths, which that's Chris Evans keeps saying he doesn't want to be on screen past a certain point. Like, so it'd be interesting.
Whatever. go do Snowpiercer 5.
He says he wants to direct and produce more.
Okay.
Well, he's got to stick around long enough to get that, now that Disney has 20th Century Fox, he's got to get that Fantastic Four Captain America crossover. I mean, he called for it.
They don't have 20th Century Fox yet. I heard somebody else wanted it.
Somebody else does want it, but all like the stuff at this point indicates that they don't want they don't even want to listen to the other offer, but they're only really taking Disney seriously. The stuff I was reading was saying that it's not a done deal by any means, but there was stuff from like Friday, and it was saying it's pretty likely at this point. We should know.
They better hurry up though, because Fox keeps announcing 8 million X-Men spinoff movies. They better get something going.
Oh man, and the newest stuff about the reshoots for New Mutants is crazy too, because that was a movie that was going to come out in April, and they're like, oh yeah, no, it's going to come out a year from now instead. And then initially the report was they were adding a character, and then the studio said, yeah, we are adding a character. And now they're saying that they're actually adding two characters from the comics. So it's pretty weird.
The thing is, they should have just kept it the way it is in the comics. And I guarantee you, if there's one thing that Guardians of the Galaxy should prove to you, that no matter how outlandish.
Hello?
Good. I thought it was just me.
Well, we lost Mark. I do agree with him, though. I knew what he was going to say, and I agree with him. Like, I agree with
no matter how outlandish.
Yeah, it's still going to work. It's my Mark is glowing like he's on. Did he just mute himself?
I don't know, because you're right. On my end, it looks like he's still here.
Yeah, Mark, can you hear us? Did you mute yourself, dude?
Did your beard mute you?
He disconnected. Yo, trust the process, guys.
Well, I agree with him.
Well, I'm like, I was just about to introduce us to the main event of tonight's show, and I can't because Mark, he's a requirement for it.
He's the one who wanted to really get in a fight with me about Rebels. Have you seen it, Andrea?
Oh, he just went away.
Yes, I watched all of them.
Okay. Yeah. So should we give all of our quick impressions?
I think
before
we should
Mark
wait.
Comes back?
No.
Just wait. Is he coming back?
You know, they shouldn't be asking me for my opinion to rate Skype when I'm trying to get back.
You off. What do you think about it?
Yeah, I don't even know what happened.
Oh, man, it was so frustrating. You were just about to explain exactly why Guardians of the Galaxy proved they can take risks. And we all knew where you were going with it, but you just cut off right when you were about to make your point. It was not cool.
So basically, yeah, you get it. They should have done New Mutants with the Shadow Bear and you know, and magic and all that.
Well, and like they added in the character of Cecilia Reyes to maybe create more diversity or whatever. But like literally in the first cast, it's more women than men. Got an Afro-Latino character from Brazil, a character from a fictional South American country like, you know, Wakanda is a fictional African country in Magma. It's got a, you know, Native American character, a Vietnamese character, like, who's a lesbian. It's like, they're pretty freaking diverse in 1983. You don't even need you don't need to mess with it. It's perfect.
If you kept it exactly as that, it's like, you wouldn't have people complaining about anything.
No, it just... Instead, they're like... a really good X-Men movie with a different voice, like, because like you say, the Demon Bear has that horror angle, but there's still superheroes in training, still mutants and X-Men. It's just got a great twist to it.
Yeah, I hope Marvel comes in and says, you know what, just shut it down. Disney just decides it's over.
If Fiki did answer those questions, I read a thing on Sunday, I think it was from something, maybe Friday or Saturday, where he was asked about plans for X-Men and Fantastic Four. And he said, like, they're definitely aware of it. And there you go. It's an emergency. But they said that they aren't going to really start thinking about it. And they're not going to invest their time until it's official. But once it is official, they'll start thinking about it. Like basically, he's like, which to me makes it seem like they're sort of thinking about it, but not making plans, you know?
They said they weren't thinking about Spider-Man, and all of a sudden it's like, yes, we were.
Yeah, 2 weeks later, they're like, we made a deal.
Sorry, we're the Marvel cast now.
Well, no, actually, I just remember something else that I almost forgot to mention. And that is that if you would like to see The Last Jedi, you can do so tomorrow, or when you're listening to this, you can do that right now, because it is being released digitally on March 13th. And on Blu-ray, 4K, whatever, DVD, on the 27th, which is 2 weeks from the Tuesday it comes out. So just a reminder that if you want to go watch that, you can do it right now.
And since we're, I don't know if we talked about it, but I'm sure our listeners have seen the Phasma deleted scene that was online from the Blu-ray.
Right.
What a wasted opportunity.
I didn't see it.
Well, you know what?
Where was it?
The Phasma, and then do you see the Rose one today?
What was it?
She bites Hux's hand. Rose does. Hux is like giving her crap and like strokes her chin, and she just bites his hand and like gives him so much scuff. It's awesome. But you explain the Phasma one, because it's rad as well.
The Phasma one is essentially, I'm not sure at what point it takes place. Do they still fight and it gets to that point?
Oh no, because the crack in her faceplate, she fell. Like it's she falls into the fire but doesn't fall as far, I think. Like instead of showing her going into it, they just show her fall off it, I think, and then she rises back up with all these guys on a platform just like Finn does.
So basically what happens, Andrea, is that she confronts Finn. There's four other guards and almost like a not a triangle, but like a square, you know, in the four corners of
yeah,
of
they
a
got
flat...
him surrounded, right?
Like dodgeball?
Kind of, yeah.
Four square?
Yes. Yes. He starts going off on her, telling her that essentially, you know, you're a wimp, you gave up, you know, you squealed so quickly and gave up the access codes. You know, to Starkiller Base, and you know, what would everybody think if they knew that? And she says essentially, you know, who's going to believe you? And then the four guards that are with her kind of look at each other like, oh God, he's right. She is weak. And so she all of a sudden just shoots them real quick and takes out the four guards. But then somebody shoots her and knocks her off the platform, which I would assume would have been BB-8 inside the AT-ST. I don't know.
Yeah.
In short, that's it though. It was a much better confrontation for them and gave her a little bit more character, gave both of them more character actually than what we got.
Yeah. I think that was an important exchange between their characters to, like you said, to help just give more to them.
That's one bit of rampant speculation that I'd heard about it after that scene, saying that like one way they could justify cutting it, because it is so character building for both of them, that would be if Finn leads some sort of stormtrooper revolution in episode 9, that they wouldn't want, but that might detract from it a little bit. But in a way, I think it would just be a nice hint of things to come. You know,
it would be like a seed being planted.
Right. I mean, unless they bring Phasma back, but if they bring Phasma back, then she is what Rian Johnson joked about, where he said she's the Kenny of Star Wars. And that's, I mean, come on.
Well,
don't make that real.
Well, speaking of bringing people back, I guess we could go ahead and get into Star Wars Wars now.
This is Star Wars Wars.
Star Wars Rebels is over now. It has finished. And the past, or like, because I say the past two episodes, but like, because they're bundled together. So the past couple weeks of episodes has really wrapped up the series. And I know that there are some, I don't want to say opposite opinions, but some differing opinions here. So I'll just hand it over to Mark and just have you start with whatever you want to say.
I'd like to hear what you and Andrea think of it first.
Tim, go ahead.
Okay, so as far as just like overall the past couple weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, past couple weeks, give me a look back on the series if you have an opinion of it, you know, overall.
So for me, if the entire series had been like the past couple of weeks had been, I would have a very different outlook on the show overall. And in comparison, it makes the rest of the series look like a collection of filler episodes, in my opinion. Not that they were bad, it's just they're different standards. And I really like the new ones way better than the rest of the series. Because I actually, toward the end, I was really not caring a whole lot about what happened. And then these past couple of weeks, I started to care again. So, like, that should tell you something.
All right.
Yeah, no offense, but I really liked the last like two episodes. Like not they're bundled, right? So last 4 episodes, which were divided into 2 halves of 1 episode each, just hour long episodes. But I liked them. I liked that they brought the son and the daughter guys back. I liked them. I liked that Kanan bit it. I liked that. Listen, someone had to die, and I didn't want it to be Zeb, so I'm chill with that. I liked that Zeb is showing Beard Guy the world, like in Aladdin. Like. I like that. I like that Sabine is just like Lando now and is just like running a business on a world and is like, whatever. Like, I guess I'll go off with Ahsoka. And I really hope, okay, so if this wasn't a setup for a series where they're like buddy cops and like explore the galaxy, Sabine and Ahsoka, that's a real big waste of a last episode, because I really thought Ahsoka was dead and that was the end of her storyline, but I'm totally here for her and Sabine just like exploring the galaxy. And
weren't you the one who was so upset that they brought her back, Ahsoka?
Yeah, because I want like characters to have closure. So if they have her have another series, then that's fine, because
okay,
she's getting another series. But if that's like the end of her story arc that we saw, I'll be a little annoyed, because that's like not really an end. It's like a beginning of another chapter, and I want to see it.
What if it's the beginning of the untold story?
That's messed up, Dave Filoni. He was trying to set himself up for a job. Like, I don't blame him. He was like, this is a good way for me to get another show.
Well, and so this kind of reminds me too, because I guess I should get this out before I step aside for the war. That there are 2 things that really stood out to me about the last episode and the end of it. One, I actually really, really liked how they handled Ezra and how he is not present for the original trilogy, because it totally works without having to have them kill off the teenage protagonist. So that was pretty cool. And I like Ahsoka, and I was very happy that they brought her back. That's just one thing that is kind of bothering me. The only thing I didn't like about the past couple of weeks of episodes is that if Ahsoka is around for the original trilogy, why wasn't she there?
Yeah, that's part of my issues.
I guess she was looking for Ezra, right?
Not yet.
And I mean, I get, like, because I think I had said toward the beginning of this podcast, like a couple years ago at the beginning of this podcast, that it's a big galaxy, it's a big rebellion, big war, all that. People can be all around. But at the same time, if you have lightsabers and you can use the Force, and
you have been instrumental in the rebellion's formation and their activities.
And Vader / Anakin and all this, like, there's no way you're not going to be involved when this stuff is going down.
I took it as her, like, exploring the time temple with her little owl friend,
but
until she was like strong enough to like get out. I felt like she was like still trapped somewhere in there.
All right, so Mark,
It's open to interpretation.
It absolutely is. Filoni said a bunch of stuff, but that's
Filoni can suck at.
No, I agree. And if it's not on screen or in a book or whatever, then it's just stuff they say until it is.
Right.
You know?
I'm like so tired of directors or whatever being like, "Well, this is what it meant." I'm like, "Shut up." The whole point of you writing something and telling a story is for it to be interpreted. So maybe, like, put that in the show and let people interpret it, then backhand be like, well, this is what I meant. Well, like, if you have to say that, then, like, suck it.
When I believe that there is...
in there.
There are two things you can look at. You can look at the people's... the way people absorb something and our interpretations, and you can look at intention. And if it's... especially if it's a single story by one author, I feel like they can say, this is what I meant, and that should matter to some level, but it shouldn't supersede your experience as a reader. That being said, in a franchise with dozens of writers over decades, like, all participating in something that goes back and forth with changes and whatnot, I don't... Luke and Leia being siblings, that's just one guy. You know? I just feel like we can't really take
There's a difference
the word of God or whatever doesn't matter. Yeah.
Between being like, I envisioned this versus like going back being like, well, you didn't like hint at that at all. You're just pulling this out of thin air afterwards because you saw it online. Like, it's just fine, but.
So,
because pull the wool over my eyes, cowboy man.
Fake cowboy.
So, cowboy hat over my eyes.
Mark, I was thinking, Tim had suggested you go first, but I was wondering if I don't know. I'm so neutral in general. I feel like if you go first, I'm going to have a hard time eviscerating your points, but you seemed eager to dismantle my arguments.
No, I don't even know. Look, here's the thing. You know, this is like Star Wars Wars Light.
Oh, of course, because it's me. It's going to be.
Yeah, it might even be.
Star Wars Tiff.
You're going to throw away your weapon at like the end of Jedi, and I'm just like, well, what am I supposed to do then? I'm going to throw the Emperor in the pit. So
you're not going to punch the defenseless guy with glasses.
No, I'm curious what your thoughts on it, and be as brutal as possible, you know, in the areas that you had problems with.
All right. Well, for me, most of it does stem from Filoni's BS excuse for that, because he's the one who's probably going to be in charge of Ahsoka if it comes back. I don't know. If it's left open-ended forever, then that's great, and I'm okay with that. There's a lot of stuff in Star Wars like that, but he had said some nonsense about basically, like, any time travel story, it's a space time continuum, and because she wasn't around, she can't be around now, and blah, blah, blah. But it only makes sense to the point when Ezra saved her, because, like, that does make sense to me. If everyone thought she was dead during that time, it would be if she appeared, you know, at some point ahead of that, it wouldn't make any sense. Like, but he didn't send her back in time while she was presumed dead, you know. It's like, now everyone can know. It doesn't add up to me. The only reason why she wouldn't appear until the original trilogy is over is because we don't see her, and it feels like he just wants people to stop thinking with that answer. And it's basically the same complaint you had, Andrea, where it's like, you don't even care about the, you know, the word from the author. And I agree.
And okay, break.
Go on.
Okay, no, finish that point, and then I'm gonna disagree with your point.
But just I feel the fact that he has her on pause during that period and then has her come back to go search for Ezra annoys me, because I like her. If you're gonna bring her back, I don't want it to be in service of a character like Ezra. Like, for me, because he was better these last few episodes. I agree with what Tim said about liking the way they wrote him out. That's one thing I think they did really well. But I overall like. I just don't like bringing her back to be the person who searches for Ezra at this point, and having her been out of the picture this whole time. And, you know, I'm sure that Dave or somebody else even, you know, could do something with her that later on that will make me satisfied. But I enjoy Ahsoka a lot. I just kind of feel like it's a bit of a disservice to her character. It feels very comic booky to me, you know, to keep resurrecting a character you love. And
but like she character. never She never died. Look,
no, I
understand
that, but you know what I mean. Like, you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean, but at the same time also, when we see her, you know, post-Jedi, it's not like being surprised. She's not like, holy, there's Ahsoka? They've been in constant communication, it sounds like. It sounds like they already set their plan up about what they're doing, and now we're leaving. So
that wouldn't be constant, because she says in that narration that she had misinterpreted the message and for a long time thought it just meant staying on Lothal. So she wasn't preparing to search for him that whole time, you know?
Right, but that's still not the moment that they foresee.
No, absolutely. You know what I mean? No. I'll give you that much. But I don't know, man. And just the whole time travel thing to begin with annoys me, because not because it exists at all, though a little bit, I sort of feel like you have enough of a MacGuffin with the psychic powers of the Force, like time travel is a whole new shebang. And I'm okay with it. Like Kevin Rubio Kevin Rubio, who wrote for Clone Wars, and he was at Steele's show this weekend that I went to. He had said he feels like enough of those seeds are planted, you know, in the original trilogy and the prequels, with like visions and Yoda explaining, you know, you're going to see the future and the past and all of it. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with being open to time travel, even though it wasn't something I was like into for Star Wars, because I love time travel, and I'm not like gonna hold anything in it too sacred. But it just felt like another example of Lothal being like preposterously magical. Like, it's not just got a Jedi temple, it's not just a Kyber crystal place, but it's also got the magical time temple. And that's another thing, like Filoni said that in one of these interviews, that they're no one's gonna touch time travel again, because that was the time temple and the time room, and it's gone now. It's destroyed, so no one can do it anymore.
And
that's another, like, very much a comic book thing. You've introduced it into the world. So, yeah, it's destroyed forever until it's not. And also, it's a time machine thing. So, like you could have something from the past send someone to the future. Like, you know, like, right? like, you can't set a time machine thing off limits because it's time travel. Like, so, I don't know. For me, I liked a lot of the ideas, if not all the ideas. I just felt like it felt rushed to me. There were things.
Jared.
What?
How do you feel it felt rushed?
I would have introduced some of these elements earlier. I would have tried to have spread some of it out. Like
what? What element?
I think the idea of the Mortis stuff. I think I would have liked a few more hints, not with like a bird flying around Ahsoka that's not even quite the same bird or whatever, because it wasn't all about Ahsoka. Ahsoka wasn't the key to time travel. It was what Ezra's goal was, but that wouldn't make any. For Palpatine to drop something so loaded as calling them the Mortis gods, acting like there's all this pre-existing knowledge of it, and that it would have anything to do with this ancient Jedi temple, like when you know, the response to the story of the Mortis stuff was like, we don't have any idea what just went on. When Obi-Wan had a traditional Jedi upbringing, there's, to me, if it's all over a temple, then and Palpatine references them like that, it feels like it's like common knowledge to me or whatnot. And, well,
you don't think that when they got back from their mission that they would put it in the Jedi archives?
I mean, that's possible too, but just the fact that it's on this ancient temple on Lothal is where all this stuff is, and it ties to it. It feels
like you already know that Palpatine, from all the ancillary materials, you already know that Palpatine's been looking for artifacts.
No, I'm okay with him searching for this stuff. I just would have liked a few more hints, because it's so much stuff. Like, I liked Kanan's death. I'll agree with that one. Like I said, I like Ezra getting launched off into the unknown spaces or whatever, unknown regions. I liked, I loved what you mentioned, Andrea, the Callus being introduced to Zeb's family. That was great, and it was like that Steve Bloom even tweeted, like, I finally got my man. it was very much a great either romance or bromance, however you want to look at it, but it was fantastic and a good ending for those characters. But I felt like they and Hera are the only ones that got real – well, and Kanan are the only ones that got real endings to me. And if they do follow up on it, it's fine. But as it is, I'm not really satisfied for Sabine and Hera's, or not Hera's, Sabine and Ahsoka's endings. It's very much I don't know, leaves it open-ended for me. And I don't love the implication with that narration. It feels like Sabine's just been there waiting and had the wrong idea for this whole time. And they even say that the attack never came and nobody ever came back. So it feels like really weird to me. And it is just an implication, but they don't really act like she's been off doing a bunch of other crap. And we can make up our own headcanons as much as we want. But with what we're given, I don't find it super satisfying as all. And I feel like that to me, it's more of the same of the second and third and fourth season feeling of just Rebels feels like a lot of really good stuff that could have been done a little better to me, or it could have been more satisfying, and feels a lot like missed opportunities. And I don't think it's bad, but it's just not, I'm not as satisfied with it as I feel like I should be, because it is Star Wars and I have an affection for this world, and I'm more satisfied with this other stuff I find less appealing lately. And I don't know. It feels like it's just not living up to its own potential, really, and for me. And the last complaint I'll have before I let Mark rebut me is Jason Syndulla felt like an afterthought, because that's just a green-haired kid. Like, he does not look like he's part Twi'lek to me. We've seen kids that were in the Clone Wars that were supposed to be hybrid, and even so, like, just something. Like, green skin, a little bit of a nubs on his head, like, weird triangle ears that poke out of the side of his head. A little bit of effort I would have liked, but Jason Syndulla felt like he was half-assed. So,
because you know all about how, you know, interspecies children are supposed to look like.
I just don't think it's a lot of effort. Like, that's all. Based on what we've seen.
God forbid. Yeah, but okay. So there are all shades of different colors of people in the world. Let alone, you know, anybody get together with anybody, and the kids don't look anything alike. Nor do they look like the same races. Look like the other. What am I trying to say? So two black people have a child doesn't mean they're gonna look like the two other black people that have a child, their kid. Let alone if black and a white person have a kid.
I don't think that this is the same. This is the same discussion, because I feel like when you're talking about hybriding two different species, for the most part, you know, you look at every single, because that's what this is.
It's make believe.
I know, and I wish it would have looked either more consistent with the two kids, or the kids we saw in the Clone Wars, or at least looked a little like they put a little more effort in. I'm not saying that putting on my nerd glasses first and saying memory. That this besides is a mistake.
Besides the LaQuains, besides the LaQuain family, what other hybrids do we see?
No, it's just those two kids in the LaQuain family.
So what you're saying is you expect everybody to look like those specific genes.
No, or something that looks like something in between a human and a Twi'lek, or that. But like, Twi'leks don't have any hair. They don't look like it's not even the same color hair as complexion. And again, you're right that doesn't necessarily mean anything. It's just it feels like an afterthought to me.
I wish they would have
put a little more effort. And again, it's like the guys that look like Proto or Imperial Guards or whatever, those guys. I thought that was kind of cool, but it also felt a little bit like an afterthought, or at least highlighting their lack of budget, because I just wish they had their robes. Like, I was like, why? They don't have any robes. They're in Power Rangers outfits because they can't afford to animate the cloth, and it's not their fault.
Yeah. But at the same time, I don't remember didn't they have a cartoon series or a comic series where the guys didn't have robes like Crimson Empire?
I thought they still did, but you saw what they looked like. And the other ones were like in the future. The ones where they didn't have any robes on the outside that was like an EU thing in the future, I think. But either way, I don't think it's like awful. I don't know. I was underwhelmed, and a lot of people like you guys who didn't like it before turned around, which is interesting to me. And what's most interesting as well is another Amanda, friend of mine, loves the show, has from the beginning, is a giant Hera and Kanan shipper, loves artwork that you hate, Mark, on principle. And she and myself, who I feel like is still more middle of the road, even though I'm more negative than you guys, but more middle of the road than like Amanda Ward, than our Amanda, who is very critical of the show. Like, we all have the same observations. Like, she took a lot of issue with the same issues I did. It just didn't register enough for her to say she's still like not enjoying it overall, I think. But it's just interesting to me that it can elicit the exact same critical response, but all of our enjoyment is at very, very different levels, you know, like where one person just doesn't enjoy it at all, I still do, and someone else loves it, you know, and I think it's just interesting.
Well, I look at the past for me in television series for things that I've enjoyed. You know, for one of the shows for me before DVR that I actually had to sit there and make sure that I caught it, otherwise I would miss it, was Lost. And so Lost was a fantastic show that failed miserably to stick a landing. At the end of the day, I felt that they wasted so much time in that final season when they were wrapping it up, and they knew in advance when they'd be wrapping it up that I was like, what did you guys waste the time with these flash sideways to where I didn't feel that it was a satisfying ending? You look at a show like Sopranos. I love the Sopranos. I thought the ending was lackluster. And I think a lot of people did too. So you've got these shows that you've enjoyed, but them failing, I think, for me anyways, in wrapping up the show, really hurts my enjoyment or my outlook on the rest of the series. Like, I still love Lost, but there's that ending. I still love Sopranos, but there's that ending. A show like The Shield that I love had a solid ending, and so the whole show comes off as being fantastic. The situation with Rebels for me is that, boy, there was some problematic parts in just about every season. There was some stuff that I was like, okay, I'm not too excited here. But what happened in the end is they nailed the landing as far as the ending goes for me. Everything was wrapped up very nicely, and it also set up a lot of interesting possibilities down the road. You know, I wasn't huge on Ahsoka coming back, but they set it up in season two. They set up the whole idea that she never died. She was just plucked out of space for 1 second and then put back right afterwards, and she's still there. And what was she doing the whole time she was gone? Well, I don't know. She doesn't have a way off the damn planet. So maybe she spends years trying to get off. We already know how hard it is when what was the episode where Zeb and his boyfriend were trapped inside a hole.
It's not enemy mine, but it is enemy mine. But you know what I mean? You know, right?
They're worried about dying because there was no way off the planet. It's, you know, it's not exactly like what planet did Vader and Ahsoka fight on?
Was it Moriband or right?
Which was something that you weren't supposed to go to anyways, right?
Yeah, it was like the main Sith world, right?
Right. So and I think it's one of those things that people probably stayed away from.
No, that makes sense. I mean, and you think especially that Palpatine wouldn't let people go near it.
Right. So how's she getting off the planet?
No, and see, if that would like again, this isn't even a criticism of the show itself as much as Filoni with that answer. But if that were his off-screen answer, I think that'd be so much better. If he's like, it took her 4 years. Like, she like had to like freaking Tarzan her way through that. It's like find every piece of ancient, you know, technology she could to assemble, you know, a hyperdrive or whatever. Like using all of her knowledge, like that's cool, and that would make a great Ahsoka book or whatever. You know, like I think. But just saying, you like MacGuffin, I don't know. I really didn't think this through. like that feels like what he basically said in the interview, but he tried to seem coy. And it's like, dude, if the end result is me thinking you didn't think it through, don't play coy.
I think he tries to play cute, and it doesn't always work.
I think you're absolutely right. I think you're totally right.
It definitely works for some fans.
I'm glad you guys really – that's true. But I'm glad you guys all enjoyed it as much as you did. Like I said, like for me it's just underwhelmed, not like it wasn't like a failing grade. I just was wasn't well, as impressed as everybody else. And I was surprised to see everybody else as impressed as they were. Because when all the Fulcrum stuff was first coming out, I remember a lot of people, you know, and you not being super like Tim, you were more open to it. And Mark, you weren't like dismissive of it, but you weren't as interested in Ahsoka surviving. You kind of wanted stories to end. And like you said, Andrea, you know, you weren't on the show yet at the time, but you said earlier tonight, you kind of wished, or you do like the stories ending. And so for me, it's just funny that like at one point we all were somewhat on the fence or not super positive about her coming back. And to me, it's like, it's even more ridiculous because they literally plucked her through time. And it's not, like I said, it's not off limits, but you know what I mean. Like
I do. I didn't want her living. I wanted Vader to defeat her. That right. would have been the perfect ending in my mind at the time. That was what I wanted.
Instead, Vader fell through a floor and then she was gone for a second and he got on his ship after like, which Jason sort of mentions it on the Steel podcast, but it's like a preview of his moment when Obi-Wan disappears, where he steps on the robe. He has to be like, what the heck? Like, where did she go?
It's happened again?
Yeah, no, that, I like that idea that when he's stepping on the robes, he's like, first Ahsoka, now Kenobi. When did they learn this trick? Like, why is no one teaching me how to disappear?
Well, the thing is that, you know, you've got the situation to where I didn't think that they could plausibly do it. But within, you know, within the universe, I suppose, it works. It works with them having it be time travel, not time travel. And you see her alive at the end of season two. So technically, everything that happened with Ahsoka already happened. You just don't know it yet.
Right.
Now, as far as the other, you know, a little bit of foreshadowing was the whole thing with the Bendu and, you know, these arms wrapped around you talking to Thrawn. Mm-hmm. You know, they also foreshadowed that. So the idea that it was rushed, I could possibly see that, but still the groundwork was being laid for the finale. Did the finale come out of nowhere? Probably. I mean, they had to at some point.
Some aspects, I'm sure, like I said, but right. not everything.
But this idea of this is where we're heading, I mean, the idea that this is the end point seems like it's been there for a long time. And the last thing I ever expected was that I would be content with how they handled Ezra Bridger. Because to me, he always had to die or do something else. But I never thought for a second that they would just effectively take the chess pieces off of the board and let the game continue. That's pretty much what they did. They just took him out of play.
They removed him. Like, right. Physically.
And I like the idea that that is also like maybe, I mean, more like enemy mind than Ahsoka's struggle. Ahsoka would basically be space castaway, I guess. But they would be in like a lost in space / enemy mind situation, Ezra, right. and Thrawn. And that, I think, especially the lost in space aspect where it is a little boy and a mincing weirdo, it sort of works.
Well, and how cool is that possibility that you could potentially have an animated series that is basically Thrawn and Ezra in some part of the Star Wars universe? You have no idea what's there. You don't have to have creatures or anything, you know, like you've ever seen, because we've never seen it before. And you could also imagine it, you know, that maybe they're backward as far as like it's a Conan kind of sword and sorcery thing, or maybe it's like really future technologically advanced. I don't know.
But
the idea of what they've set up, I think it's pretty interesting. No, obviously, they're cruising around in a broken down Star Destroyer at some point, but
I don't disagree that it's interesting. In fact, I think that and what Andrea had said about the idea of a show about Ahsoka and Sabine searching for them or just having adventures or whatever is really good. I think that those are both set up really well and are good ideas for future shows. But I guess my last criticism about it would be I'm underwhelmed at being excited about those concepts more than I would like to be. Because it is, we know that Filoni is not just going to be in charge of the next show, but is in general kind of guiding their animation stuff right now from some of the stuff they've said. Like that's one of his titles, like general animation development or something. I don't know. When he changed his title on Rebels in season three, he'd had a general title at Lucasfilm in terms of animation. But if for me, because overall, like, if until these last six episodes or last four episodes, four of us were all pretty underwhelmed a lot of the time, like, to me, that shows a pacing issue throughout the series. If overall you're satisfied with it, that's good. That's still a good thing, and that means the overall product is good. But that, but I would prefer a show that feels really satisfying throughout as I'm watching it, because that can be done too, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no,
it doesn't have to be at the expense of one or the other. The satisfying ending doesn't
supersede
that. Is all.
At the same time, though, is that I don't think they realized that the show was ending until season three.
I think you're probably right, but they didn't know if it'll be four or five or six, or like they knew it had a limited shelf life because kids' shows do, but they didn't know the exact range. Sure.
Hold on. Yeah, I don't, and that's the thing. So I think, you know, you feel it was potentially rushed, but it was really like, okay, well then we could have done this in season six, but now we're just going to have to do it in season four.
Sure. No, and that is sort of how I felt about it. That's the vibe I got, is that he shoved a lot of stuff he wanted to include into a few episodes, and a lot of it was good stuff. It just felt a little bit like I would have liked a little bit more building towards some of the stuff. But
how do you control that if you're not in control of how long the show runs?
I guess
it's not even... There's not even any merchandise in a store for it right now. So obviously it as much as a decent subsection of fans enjoyed it, it wasn't gaining any traction as far as merchandise. Which, I'm sorry, it's needed to sell an animated series, you know. And Disney XD wasn't exactly helping it any. So yeah, the thing is that he's not in control of when it ends. He's just say, okay, so now we got season four. This is your last season. So he's like, okay, time to end it the way I planned.
No, I think you're right. I think that, I don't know. I'm not trying to be too critical of it. Like, we've talked a million times before about me being Switzerland or neutral or whatnot. And I don't think it's awful or anything. I just felt like it could have done more by maybe pulling back and doing a little bit less. I don't know what I would have cut necessarily, because I do feel like they ended Kanan really well. Maybe cutting some of the stuff earlier on in the season. Because that's part of it. Is I don't really remember a whole. Like, I remember all the Bindu stuff kind of culminating at the end of season three. But, like, we had the majority of the previous episodes of this season. Like, we had, like, nine episodes before these last six. And I can't, for the life of me, remember anything happening in any of them. Like, certainly.
It was mostly just getting them back to Lothal and sort of just starting, like, the end arc. To me, it seems fine. You know, I see them, you know, after the whole ending, you know, of season three, they head back to Lothal, and then this is where we start off.
But it's like you said, if you had a time machine and you could go talk to past Mark, he'd feel differently while it was happening.
Sure.
And I think that there's something of value to that guy's perspective, because he was the one watching the show, not hindsight Mark.
But I think on a rewatch, though, now that you know where it's going, it makes it a much more satisfying television.
And that's super important. Rewatchability is important. It's why movies are your absolute favorite instead of something you just like. You know, I dig that.
Here's a perfect example. Okay, so has anyone here seen Whiplash?
Yes.
Yeah.
I have not. But I don't. Oh, go ahead and spoil me.
I'm not going to spoil it. I'm not going to spoil it at all. All I'm going to tell you is that the movie is very interesting, and it's okay. Until the final act.
Yeah.
The
and then
final
it gets
act,
real good.
It gets real good. And
yeah.
Real tense. And like,
yeah.
I'm standing up in my house like, ooh, ooh. you know. And it's amazing. And so, in the end, you have one of my favorite movies of all time now. Strictly because of the last act. And so when I watch it again, I'm sure, you know, I'll start to see things differently or look through things at a different lens, because now I have such a happy feeling and excited feeling about this movie I'm seeing, rather than, hey, why is this movie so popular with people? Because that's the whole reason I watched it. Everyone likes Whiplash. What?
what? I want to see why this movie's like, because I don't believe it. And then you see it. And, and which is exactly why I watched it. That stupid app Letterboxd.
To prove everybody wrong. About?
Well, everyone has like Whiplash is one of their top movies on the app Letterboxd. And I'm like, what? This cannot be right. This cannot be right. My next one that everyone has in the top like 20 is Eternal Sunshine of the whatever the heck.
Spotless Mind. I like it a lot, but it's magical realism romance nonsense. I'm not sure you'll love it. I like it, but it's also not one I've seen like over and over again.
Well, either way, I think you get my point in just that, you know, now that you have the full experience, you know, you're going to look at the whole obviously different than you did when you're in the middle of it. Because you know where it's
going. I can absolutely see that. I do feel like movies are a little bit of a totally different animal than shows because you say, like, we don't know when they knew they were going to end it. Like, and because some shows, they annoy me because of inconsistencies from season to season. Like Lost, in the second season, all those characters but, like, two are completely erased by the end of the third season. They're like, it's as if they never existed. And so you feel wasted. They introduced all these new characters. So every time I've rewatched that twice, I think, and every time I'm just annoyed when I watch the second season. I'm like, why are these characters even here? Like, what is happening?
I think the second season, was it the second season where the writer's strike happened?
Maybe, but I remember reading about it as well after the fact that season was them adding filler because they gave the ABC a three-season pitch and the pilot was so well-reviewed and so well-watched, and then like the next like month's worth of ratings were so incredibly high for them, and it was the highest they'd had for a scripted show in so long that they were like, hey, your contracts say we can increase the series order to like five seasons right now, so we're doing that, so you're gonna have to increase the story from three to five right now. Like, it's happening. And it ended up being like, what, seven in the end? Like, it was
I think so.
It went on a long time. I do like it, but I'm with you that the only stuff I liked that whole last season wasn't any of the sideways stuff. It was the backstory. It was stuff about Richard Alpert and the guys, you know, and the forces of nature. Like, it had nothing. Whoa. It was the history of the island. It had nothing to do with those side stories. You're absolutely right. Like, I wish I could edit those side stories out and just get the good.
I don't even remember the side stories.
No, they're pointless. Jack has a fake son who's dead now because he never existed.
Alternate reality. It was alternate reality season seven.
It was them in purgatory, not realizing they were in purgatory.
But guys, honestly, that last scene where Jack closes his eyes and his dog closes his eyes. Oh my god!
And he hugs Hurley or whatever when they all have the reunion.
Yeah, I cried myself to sleep after that. I was I'm so emotional.
I do. That guy, Jorge Garcia, looks like he gives good hugs. That is emotional.
It was beautiful, and the soundtrack was beautiful. But
I love the soundtrack. The soundtrack's
that
so
show.
Good.
That show peaked season four. Real talk.
It peaked with the what's his name dying.
Charlie.
Yes.
Yeah. It
didn't reach that level again.
Wasn't that season four?
All my money is on those guys.
I think it was season four.
Yeah. That was like the real Desmond heavy season.
Oh, then I'm into it.
Before they time traveled to the 70s for like whatever, I can't remember why they did that, but they did that.
So Sawyer could become Han Solo.
Yeah, so Sawyer could be hot. And that was pretty much it.
Okay, so I do just want to ask a quick, because I'm just doing
that. That was a bad Star Wars war. Sorry, everyone.
Well,
I'm too neutral. I apologize. Well, I mean, screw everybody.
but just
get more opinions.
I wanted to ask because I'm doing time watching. So, a quick yes or no. I'll say your name and you're telling me if you're going to get the digital Last Jedi or if you're going to wait and buy a physical copy. Jared,
I'm waiting and getting my steel book to match my other steel books.
Okay, Andrea.
I am going to rent it.
Okay. Oh, didn't you do that for Rogue One?
I bought Rogue One, then I forgot I bought it.
Oh, okay, that's right. All right, Mark.
I'm buying it on Blu-ray.
Yeah, because the Force Awakens I had gotten digitally, and then on Blu-ray, but I think I'm just going to wait this time for it.
Same.
And then one thing I wanted to mention before we leave forever is that this is actually kind of...
forever?
Well, you know what I mean.
Until somebody plucks us at a time.
Right.
And brings us back for next week.
Right. this is more geared toward Andrea, because today, when I had the TV turned on, I saw that there was a TV show on called Vanderpump Rules. And so I was like, all right.
Yes.
So
did you watch it?
I turned to it, and then I started my stopwatch, and I lasted 1 minute, 14.9 seconds before I had to leave.
You couldn't watch Vanderpump Rules. Oh, my God.
But I just want you to know that I give it a try.
You did not give it a try. This is not a try.
Well, to be fair, it was also toward the end, so there wasn't a whole lot to get into.
Yeah, you need to start at the beginning and get into it.
Don't start, like, Tim. Mark's in. Right now.
Mark's into it.
Don't.
He doesn't want to admit it, but it's so good.
I couldn't get into it. I watched several episodes of that, and what was the Jersey Shore one time.
Don't even compare it to the Jersey Shore.
I can't get into it.
Water. Oh, you are into it.
But you dare.
It's
You're
better.
Defending it. All I know
who's
is...
Who's the little British dude?
James.
Oh, good God.
Who's the one girl who seems evil?
Stassi?
That's
all
the
of
one.
Them.
That's the one.
No.
Stassi's way more evil in the beginning.
Somebody was quitting her job than what I saw.
They always quit their job.
I would like this show. This sounds interesting.
Let's put it this way. You there's only a few people you might like in this show, but there's so many you hate.
Yeah. Put it this way. There's less filler episodes in Vanderpump Rules than there were in Star Wars Rebels.
Yes.
More things happen in one episode of that show than like an entire season of any other reality show.
You know, can I say one thing though? That show honestly makes me very, very man, I'm gonna get so much this.
Is she happy?
I cannot believe these women take these men back.
Oh, right?
It annoys me to no end because it's look.
It's so
there was annoying. The one I just saw was like the guy's like, yeah, we just made out, okay? We didn't have sex. We just made out, so I'm letting you know. And then he has the interview with the camera. He goes, oh, yeah, we had sex. And it's like, dude, she's going to see it in a year. Yes. It's like, she's going to see it in a year. Yeah. And she takes it back.
He admitted that he was just dating her to get on the show. Like, he was straight up like, I just wanted to be on the show.
I'm sorry, I love how into this Mark is.
There's multiple times in the show where the guy is like, listen, let me take you aside, okay? We made out. I made out. Yeah. It's like, yeah, you made out with another girl that you apologized for, too. At what point are these women going to go,
yeah,
F out?
Like, they're all like, beautiful and funny. And they just, like, date these trash dudes and are like, okay, like, you can cheat on me and I'll just take you back and we'll just, like, I'll just hate you while I'm dating you and it'll be just, like, super toxic, but we'll do it together.
I know that if I even have an email to another woman that is questionable that my wife reads, I am dead. I am absolutely dead. And that's the parameters that has been set. And I will never cross those parameters. These guys are like, oh, look, I can make out with girls and she's going to stay with me. So they do it. And it's
right.
Like, you guys need to set these parameters early on that I will cut off your, you know what, if you so much as
disrespect. I'll feed it to a squirrel. Like,
yes.
I don't care.
And trust me, us guys are like, okay, that's fine. I love you. I won't do that.
Listen, Vanderpump Rules. I don't want to like go on a tangent about Vanderpump Rules because I could honestly have a podcast dedicated to Vanderpump Rules. But the amount of drama in that show and pettiness just fulfills my heart, and it melts my brain after work when I've just been thinking all day. It's just like a massage on my frontal lobe, and it's like, stop thinking. Stop. Look at these idiots. And you're like, yes.
I'm actually waiting for you guys to come up so I can go
And then you watch it, And you're like, I have no need for any drama in my own life because it's all here. It's already all done. I've already seen it. I'm like, I don't need anything to happen in my life that's exciting because all these people have done the dumbest things that nothing could possibly top it. And I don't, and it's honestly, it's very relaxing. Like, I don't need to fight with anybody. I feel no need to ever fight because I'm like, I'll just watch Kristen. I'll just watch Stassi slap Kristen across the face and I'll be happy.
So what I'm hearing is that before the next Star Wars Wars, we have to cut Andrea off from Vanderpump Rules for like a couple weeks so that she will have to get her drama out here.
It like, it fulfills like that. It fulfills like fight or flight. Like, it's just like, you're good. there's no predators around. You're fine.
Well, like I said, I just wanted to mention that before we left, as I previously said forever.
Now I want to go watch it, so bye.
Well, you need to catch them out this season so we can talk about it.
So anyway, so there we go. Let's just recap. John Powell is in London for Solo. John Favreau is doing a Star Wars series, a TV show, live action, and Rebels is done. So,
Is it? Is it really Star Wars Resistance?
It's possible, but keep in mind that no title of a major series or movie has been revealed that in that fashion yet. Real stuff has been revealed. Rebels. Like, I don't think it did leak the same fashion. You could be right. I just know that all I remember was like Captain Phasma and a couple of like iOS games. But you could be right. Uprising was one of them, I think. But Forces of Destiny might have been one too. So that was a cartoon.
I think Galaxy of Heroes wasn't that too.
Might have been. But you could be right about Rebels for sure. I just thought it was nothing major, but. I mean, it depends on your definition of major for sure as well, and it could be.
Look, you know the story's not ending. That's all we got to say.
It's just, we don't even know which one it is, right? Like, is it going to be Ezra and Thrawn's excellent adventures? I mean, I feel like, right, though? I mean, it's going to be basically, it's totally a buddy comedy.
I want a good half season of crazy Thrawn and Ezra wackiness before we even know what's been going on with Sabine and Ahsoka and looking for him.
That'd be fun. I feel like
it'd be interesting to me to use the opportunity to do more than one show, and they could like dovetail. Like, you could have two seasons or two shows going simultaneously, and then have them converge into like after two seasons of them separate. Have them converge for one season of a show where
they're talking like a chip. What was it? Rescue Rangers / DuckTales crossover.
Yes, and they did do crossovers with characters from what do you call it? DuckTales in Darkwing Duck, but it was after DuckTales had ended because Launchpad became Darkwing's chauffeur / pilot / like buddy, and later on Gizmo Duck joined.
Remind me to never bring up something that you're nerdy about.
Oh, you guys know I love DuckTales. My old screen name, Joaquin Slowly, is a direct reference to DuckTales. There's a character.
Oh, God. Named. All right, never mind. Yeah. All right, Tim, wrap the show up.
Yeah,
wrap
no.
The jam.
I was going to
speak on DuckTales cast
2007. Yeah, I was just going to say. So even though like I know there've been varying opinions of it throughout, whatever. Still, at the end of the day, it was really fun. Having Rebels around, and I'm looking forward to whatever is next because it's always fun to get new Star Wars stories. So,
Dave Filoni for a live action TV show, a live action movie. There we go.
I wish that I felt like changing.
I don't really feel that way.
I just wish I felt like it was worse thing than it is to change your mind too. I just be like flip flopper.
No, real quick. I know we're leaving. I honestly think let him do whatever he wants on Channel A and give somebody else Channel B with an animated series. You can have two animated series at the same time.
Agreed.
Let him do his little thing with these characters that he's cultivated, and I don't care. You can make them all live or all die or live 1,000 years, but then let's turn the rest over to somebody else, the sandbox, so they can play with it.
Yeah. And like you can have one animated series on TV, one on the Disney streaming service or something like that.
There you go. There you go. So. Not everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was going to say, thank you, Rebels. It's been fun. And we will be back next time.